21 years of age. I remember it well when I was 21 years of age, 1984. I was away on a church camp in Llangollen in Wales, and there's only two things I really remember about it, to be honest. One was a cake I had, and the other was a book that a friend had bought me, a commentary on 2 Peter by Martin Lloyd-Jones, which I've still got. The cake, however, was a nice oblong-shaped cake with icing on it, and when you cut into it, it was a brick covered by icing. What a waste of icing sugar. However, I did have a real cake as well, so that was nice. I'm going to read from Psalm 107. Psalm 107 should come up on the screen in a minute or two, or a second or two. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. The writer has penned, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and condemned the counsel of the Most High," that is, they held it in contempt. "Therefore he brought down their heart with labour, they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord, and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders." This is a psalm of thanksgiving, where it's a call for the people of God to praise him for what he has done, for the grace that they have received and the power that they've received from him to overcome great difficulties. Difficulties that not all of us face, although we all face some kind of difficulties, don't we? The redeemed here are called to give thanks, which has the meaning of extending the hands in praise and glory. We are to praise him because he is good. And that has the meaning of that which is beautiful, the best, the finest, kindness, mercy, lovely, and sweet. That is how God is described. And we're to praise him also for his mercy. Mercy that isn't deserved, but mercy that comes through the grace of God. Some of these distresses that they faced, and we'll look at three of them, came about from the Lord himself, which causes you to think, doesn't it, that some of the afflictions that we face are brought about by the Lord, and you ask yourself, why? Why am I going through this situation? Other troubles are brought, of course, by our own foolishness, and that's described here as well. We do foolish things and suffer consequences because of the foolish things that we do. The troubles that we have from the Lord are there for a reason, and that's for purposes of training, the purposes of turning to him, to trust him in all of these situations. So there's a word here in this psalm for us today. Even though it was written well over 2,000 years ago, it's so relevant to each one of us, and we can share the grace of God that we experience. We're called upon to be unselfish in relating our experiences of trouble and how the Lord has delivered us. The first instance, from verses 4 through to 9, is that the Lord saves those who are lost in deserts. That probably isn't going to occur to very many of us in this day and age, but we can certainly think about it as a spiritual problem as well. These people had a problem. They were wandering in the desert. There was no road. There was no company to guide them. There was no rest. And there were no supplies. And they had no hope. They're in a desperate situation. And that word used here for wanderers, it means to stagger. Not only were they wandering, but they were staggering around because of their lack of water or food. They were in a desperate condition. They were alone and weak, and they were nearly finished, nearly gone. We can find ourselves in that desert situation in our lives when we're away from the Lord, or we're in the position of never having trusted him. Our life is brief at best. Even though 35 years ago I can remember my 21st birthday, it doesn't seem that long ago. And I know that in another 35 years, it's likely that I'm not going to be around. Our lives can seem so brief. And there was a point in my life when I was lost. Prior to coming to the Lord Jesus, I was lost, staggering around, lonely for the presence of God. And it's a condition that describes all of those who have not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like being in a desert. There's a fourth condition which relates to that, which we'll get to in the end. But what did they do, these people here? These were the Lord's people. What did they do? They prayed. They had a problem and they prayed. They called on the name of the Lord. And that was the only place that they were going to find any help at all. They were alone. They were weak. They were desperate. So they called on the name of the Lord. And we find that through this psalm, that the whole pattern is a refrain. It's repeated for at least four times, where there's a problem, a call to prayer, then provision from the Lord, and finally, because of that, their praise to him as well. So they prayed for deliverance, and they were delivered. Isn't it terrific to read that these people who were in such dire straits were delivered? They were given leadership. And these people here, who had no city to go to, were given a city. I suppose you can equate that with the wilderness experience of the people of Israel. And then, of course, over 100 or so years, they were then given the city of Jerusalem as their place of worship and salvation. But they were given provision to carry on with their journey wherever they were going, and they were given a city, a destination, somewhere to look forward to going to. And that's the same for the one who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find our feet upon a different journey than that which we were on, one that led to destruction. This one leads to a permanent dwelling where God is. And that's the hope that we have as believers. So they had a problem. They prayed. Have you prayed for that problem that you have with sin and wandering away from the Lord? They were given provision for the journey. And that led them to the whole purpose of this psalm, which is to bring people to praise him for what he has done. They are challenged to praise the Lord for not just that, but also because he is good. They were to praise him for his worthiness, his goodness, the perfect satisfaction that he alone can bring. And the saints of God should praise him for all of these things. So those who are lost in the deserts can find their home and their rest in the Lord. The next situation is that the people were locked up in a dungeon. That was their problem in the second part. They were locked up in a dungeon, in darkness, seeming to face imminent death. They were bound and afflicted. They were helpless as well and alone. Nobody cared. They'd been tossed into this place and nobody cared. The key apparently had been thrown away. And of course, that is a description of sin. That's what sin does to a person. It keeps us in a prison, in darkness. No one else can help. You can look around you right now, and there is no one here who will be able to get you out of that dungeon, that imprisonment that sin brings, whether they're just a neighbor, a friend, or a family member. In this situation, in this captivity of sin, we are alone. No one else can help you. You are alone in your sin. You will suffer because of that sin, and it's yours alone. The suffering is yours alone. And when you reach that point, when you look around for help and see that no one else can help, then what do? You turn to the Lord. And that's what these did here. They had this problem, they turned to prayer. They did the right thing and called upon the name of the only one who can help, the only one who can break us out of that imprisonment of sin and death. And that's they called on the name of the Lord. And in our day and age, that means calling upon the name of Jesus and what he has done to break us out of that captivity of sin. And unlike the nation of Israel, which went from time and time and time and time again, falling into that dungeon, falling into that trap, the one in this gospel age who trusts in Christ can have complete confidence that what he does in their lives is for eternity. You turn to him out of your distress and trouble, out of this problem of sin. You turn to him, you trust in him, you trust in the cross and the work that the Lord Jesus did, and you can be assured that your sins will be forgiven, that you'll be freed from that dungeon of concrete and steel, which is sin in your life. He will deliver you. Call upon his name and he will deliver you. He will deliver you from bondage. He will deliver you from death and darkness. You will be set free from that dungeon of sin which leads to destruction. You will be delivered from your bonds and made free through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And what does that do for a person? It leads them to praise. Again, it leads them to praise. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We look around our world and we see great wonders that the Lord has done in the environment around us. We see the hills and the dales. We see the lush vegetation. And we see the sunlight and appreciate it. And rain, we should appreciate that too. A wonderful creation that is around us, which we can praise God for. But praise God also for that deliverance, if you have it, and if you haven't, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So they were locked in the dungeon and they were set free. Here's another situation which perhaps not very many of us will face, and that is the situation that these sailors found themselves to be in verses 23 onwards. They were in ships. They were sailors who did business. So they sailed around the coasts. They sailed out into the blue sea and found themselves in problems. A storm came along. One of the series of books I used to read, novels by Patrick O'Brien, I don't know if you've ever come across these, about a sailor called Jack Aubrey, who was in the Royal Navy around about Nelson time, just fiction, but wonderful descriptions of the forces of the ocean that the sailors faced. Waves taller than the ships themselves, they were tossed around about in. You sometimes see these ships at the coast and they look so sturdy. You go and look, have a look at HMS Victory, and it's enormous. It looks like it'll withstand anything. And yet these waves can tower above it and give them real problems. And here is their problem. They were tossed about. They suffered the highs and lows of life on the ocean. They're weary and dispirited. They stagger about as if they were drunk. They were afraid. They didn't know where to step next on that deck of that ship. They could be swept overboard by waves that come crashing over them. Their ship perhaps was foundering. Paul faced shipwreck. The Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked and washed up onto an island. The Lord preserved him. He saw and faced that problem. They were at the mercy of the sea. And life can feel like that sometimes, can't it? Often the events that overtake us, we have no control over them. What other people may do or say about us, we cannot control it. What's happening in our country politically, we have very little influence. We cannot control it. We have no say in who the next prime minister will be. We have no say in it. And sometimes life can seem like that. Remember the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. They were out in a boat. And they faced the same situation, tossed around by a storm in their very small fishing boat. Where did their help come from? Who could they turn to? Well, these people, they prayed. They found help from the Lord and deliverance from Him and Him alone. He delivered them. He calmed their sea. They were facing destruction, but the Lord calmed the sea and brought them home, brought them joy. And when the storms of life overwhelm us, we turn to the Lord in prayer for help, that we are found in Him. That's the third category. The fourth category I want to consider isn't actually in this psalm. All of these people knew they were in trouble, whether it was from the sea, whether it was in the dungeon, whether it was in the desert, they knew they were in trouble. But there is a category of people who do not know the trouble that they are in. They do not know that their sins will take them to their doom, to their everlasting punishment by a God who is holy and cannot tolerate sin. They do not know that there is a Saviour whose name is to be called upon. They may have heard it, but haven't called upon the name of the Lord because they do not feel that they have a problem. They do not feel like these people that they're in a dungeon, the dungeon that sin brings them to. How about you? Are you aware of what your sin will lead you to the eternal damnation that is waiting for the one who has not trusted in the Lord, who has not called upon the name of the Lord? You have a problem. There is a deliverer, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who you can turn to. He is the one on whose name you can call, and salvation will come. Salvation will be given to the one who calls upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Ask the Lord to awaken your heart to see the trouble that you are in, and He will deliver you, just like He delivered these people. You can trust Him. You can turn to Him in this greatest problem. It's a greater problem than being a dungeon. It's a greater problem than being tossed about on the waves. It's a greater problem than being in the desert. To die in your sins, turn to the Lord Jesus, the deliverer, the Saviour, the only one who can do this. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, sometimes we hesitate to give thanks for the things that we face. Often we don't see a reason to give thanks for them. Why do we face these troubles? Why are we in these difficulties? Most people blame the Lord for it. Even Job's wife told him to curse God and die. But we know that there is a deliverer. We know that there is one we can turn to and trust, our Lord Jesus. And our Father, we pray that you would help us to do that today. That you would help us to trust in him. Whether our problem is a problem that we face in our Christian lives, or whether it's that step of faith that we need to take for our salvation, we ask for your help in these things. We give you praise and thanks that you are a God who is merciful and has provided the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. We pray for blessing in his name. Amen.